Hi, and welcome back to our broadcast. I'm Brian Likens. Last broadcast that we did, we were talking about how that in John chapter 14, Jesus was instructing the disciples to not let their heart be troubled. And then in John chapter 15, we're going to look in that today. In 15, he talks about being the vine and we are the branches. And if you remain in him, he will remain in you. And it's, you know, we complicate the power of the gospel. We complicate and make it difficult. And Jesus simply said, if you stay with me, I'll stay with you. You remain in me, I'll remain in you. Don't leave him. Don't run away from him. You stay with him. He will be in you and stay with you. He will not reject you. He will not leave you alone. But our part is to simply remain. Just to continue. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about running the race. And he says, they that endure till the end will receive the crown of life. Those that endure till the end, it is they that receive the crown of life. It's just simply continuing to run the race and not quitting. You don't have to be first place. You don't have to be the fifth place. It's not the ones, the top 30, the top 50, the top million. No, it is they that continue. If you continue in him, he will, has made his promise that he won't be the one that leaves you or backs up from you. So what he's telling the disciples is stay with me. Don't give up when it gets difficult. Don't run away when things look hard. Don't stop because circumstances have come into your life or trials and tests have come, and they've come for what reason? The Bible declares that those trials and tests come to what? To steal, to choke the word. Trials and tests come, they're coming after the word. When you put the word on the inside of you, some people say, well, when I didn't have any trouble until I started serving the Lord. And then after I started serving him and really seeking God's face, all these things just kept coming against me. Of course they did, because the enemy is coming after the word of God. If the word gets down on the inside of you and begins and takes root, then it's harder for him to steal it. Once it's settled on the inside of you, you know, there are things that have happened in our life when you see God's hand move and you believe God and you pray or you sow your seed and you see the result of it. Nobody can talk you out of that. When you see that God did something in your life that nobody else could have done, nobody can talk you out of that. When you see the miracles, when you experience God firsthand, no one can talk you out of that. It's too late. It's already settled. It's already been proved. No matter what you say, you can say whatever you want. You can try to disprove every which way you can, but it will not move me. Why? Because you've already experienced it. And so Jesus is saying, stay with me. What you have experienced in me, stick with, stay with, don't walk away from. And if you don't walk away from me, I'll never walk away from you. It is you that has to leave him. He's saying, I'm not the one going to do the leaving. God is saying to you, I'm not the one that will walk away. You remain in me and I will remain in you. It's all up to you. So we're going to look at that in John chapter 15. Let me go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, in the name that's above every name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for revealing to us, Lord God, the hidden gems of your word. That, Lord, as we dig into the word of God and as we begin to open up the word and begin to look at it, Lord God, and to comprehend and understand, you cause us to come up to a higher place. You increase our knowledge, Lord. You increase our wisdom. You give us the understanding that we need to walk out the things in this world and while we're on this earth. Father, we thank you, Lord, for sharing with us and revealing to us, opening up our spiritual understanding, opening up the understanding of our mind, Lord God, that we are able to receive and to take hold of the promises that you've given us and not back away from it. And Lord, we thank you in the name that's above every name, the precious name of Jesus. So let's look at in John chapter 15, and I'm going to read to you and starting out of the New Living Translation. He says, I am the true grapevine. My father is the gardener. The Amplified says, I'm the true vine. My father is the vine dresser. In verse 2, he cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message that I have given you. And here's where he says, remain in me in verse 4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. The Passion Translation says, so you must remain in life union with me. For I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. And then verse 5, he says, yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. And when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. For I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. And when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Let me stop there. So as we remain in Christ, as we stay in him, and many times we'll read this and immediately what we do is we go to the inabilities that we have or our failures or shortcomings. And we look at where he says, if you keep my commandments and you remain in me, and then immediately we go to remembering how we failed or we've broken a commandment or we've not walked in love or we've not obeyed God's word. And we haven't prayed like we should. And we haven't studied the word like we should. And we constantly look at our weaknesses and our shortcomings. And we think, oh my goodness, you know, here I am. He said, stay in me and keep my commandments. And if you obey me, and well, Lord, I know I haven't obeyed you. And immediately our mind begins to try to condemn us. Well, this is where you've got to get God's word on the inside of you to know who you are. And that so that when your heart tries to condemn you, you combat it or you come back with the word of God that says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So where I have failed, he takes up for my shortcomings. Where I have missed it, he's my strength. Where I've blown it, he's still the forgiveness and the power of the blood of Jesus is still covered me. So I continue in him. The only way that there is any rejection is if you walk away from him. So, and we talked about this on the last broadcast, remaining in him, being consistent, staying faithful. That word faithful sometimes freaks people out because immediately they go, I know I'm not faithful. I know I haven't been faithful. But listen, faithfulness is staying and enduring until the end. You can look all through the Bible and you can see the people that God chose. And if you look at their life, would you say they were faithful? Look at Abraham, how Abraham was called to be the father. He was the one that through his lineage would come the Messiah. And yet, what did Abraham do? Abraham lied. Abraham was in fear. Abraham tried to do it his own way. He tried to have a child, not the way he took his handmaiden. Sarah said, take my handmaiden. He didn't reject that. He didn't say, no, this is not God's plan. He's like, okay, maybe Hagar was kind of pretty. I don't know. Maybe he thought this was an opportunity. Who knows what was going through his mind? But he didn't do it God's way. He failed. And the Lord had to rebuke him and said, this is not how this is going to come to pass. For he told him, it will be through your son. You and Sarah will have a son. Well, they didn't believe. They were in doubt and unbelief. They thought it was, you know, they'd waited too, it's too far, too gone. So they tried to do it in their own strength, a way they thought they could do it and complete the promise. God said, this is not what I said it would do. They didn't trust that his word would bring forth a supernatural work that even in their old age, that they would still be able to have a son. But yet God proved himself faithful, didn't he? You can look at King David. King David, the Bible calls a man after God's own heart. But yet what happened to King David? King David was the greatest king in all of Israel. King David was a warrior. He followed after God. He had the passion for God, and whatever that God wanted, that's what King David wanted to do. Why did God, the Bible call him a man after God's own heart? Didn't King David fail big time? King David took Bathsheba, brought her into his mansion or what do they call that for the kings? he brought him into his palace. I'm not in a palace, so I forget what it's called. They brought him into his palace and he brought her in. Her husband was out to battle. King David was laying around the house bored and he's looking around the city. He sees Bathsheba up on the rooftop, beautiful, drawn to her, lusting after her, and then has them bring her into his palace and into his chambers. And then he sleeps with her. They have a child. Then what does he do? He has Uriah, her husband, sent to the front line so that he'd be killed to cover up, to hide his sin. Because what happened? Uriah came home while Bathsheba was pregnant, already pregnant. Uriah comes home and they tell him to go in to his wife. He brought him from the front lines first because he knew she was pregnant, wanted it to be covered up. So he sent him in to his wife, but Uriah was a man of honor and he would not go and sleep with his wife and have any type of pleasure while his men were on the battlefield. And he slept outside the door. And when that didn't work, King David sent him to the front line. And that's when Uriah was killed to cover up. But God, through Samuel, brought this to King David's attention. And when he did, he told him the story about a little lamb, a man who had only one lamb. And it was stolen from him and taken from him. And he says, what should be done to this man? And King David got irate. He said, anyone that does that to someone should be put to death. And then the prophet said, you are the one. And so David knew his heart was pricked on the inside. He was convicted. He knew that what he had done was wrong. All of a sudden, before that, you know, when you're in the middle of covering things up, you think you're getting by with it and there's no conviction there until it's brought to light. And when the light shone and revelation came that King David saw his own sin, King David repented before the Lord. He still suffered. That baby did not live. He suffered through things at the hand of the enemy. He suffered things through his children and all kinds of terrible things happened. But King David kept repenting. He was a man after God's own heart because when he failed, when he messed up, when he did the wrong thing, he still turned back to God. He did not quit. You can look all through the Bible and look at people and men and women of God who their life was not perfect, but yet they stayed and endured until the end. And that's what Christ is telling the disciples. Remain in me. You stay in me. You stay fixed in me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Hebrews, it tells us that he is our great high priest and he will never leave us nor forsake us. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. And when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, and if you do what I command, I no longer call you slaves or servants, because a master doesn't confide in his servants or slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. If the world hates you, remember that it has hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. For I chose you to come out of the world, and so, or therefore, it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is no greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. But they will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them, but now they have no excuse for their sins. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. And if I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they've seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father." You know, that reminds me of people that look and see the hand of God and they refuse to believe that God was working. They see the miraculous. They see God's love and His grace and mercy, but refuse to acknowledge Him. They've seen the signs and wonders. They've seen the miraculous, but they refuse to acknowledge that it was God. You know, some people, no matter what, they refuse to surrender their life or their will to anyone. But you know what? If there's an evil king, sure. I don't want to give my life in servitude to an evil person or to an evil king. But God is the greatest there is. He's the most pure and full of love and life, and everything about Him is full is grace and mercy. That's the whole point of the gospel, the whole purpose of sending Christ to the earth, because of His love for mankind. But people hold God in the Old Testament. They hold Him under the Old Covenant before Christ came. Before Christ came, sin was judged immediately. God was protecting the lineage of David. God was protecting the gospel. He was protecting the salvation for the entire world. And so sin was judged immediately, because sin would have destroyed the promises and the prophecies. If sin had remained, there wouldn't have been a virgin in the earth for Christ to come through. And so God was protecting that plan of salvation. And when Christ came, He took the punishment for the entire world. And so the sin today is no longer judged immediately. All the wrong that you see happening, all the evil that's going on, is because Satan is doing everything he can to wreak havoc. But it's not God punishing the world. That punishment was put upon Christ. He took the punishment for the entire world. And so we live under today the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of God's punishment being held back because it was poured out at the cross on Christ Himself. And it is so that as many as possible can be saved. And then there will be a day when God brings everyone together, and those that stand with Him will be cut off. Those that refuse or reject Him, they will be separated. But God has given everybody an opportunity to come into the kingdom, as many as would believe on the Lord Jesus. So He has given this promise and held on to it and protected it all through the scriptures, protecting that lineage, protecting the way Christ would come, so that He would come and be without sin. He had to come through a virgin because the bloodline, there was no sin in Him. He didn't have the sin that flows through the blood of man. He didn't have that in Him, but He was born of a virgin, yet without the blood of man, but it was the blood of God. And so Christ came pure and holy and without sin, was the pure sacrifice, the pure living Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And staying in Him, holding fast to Him, is how we stay in faith, receive our salvation, by remaining in Him, not giving up and not quitting. And in verse 25, it says, "This fulfills what is written in their scripture. They hated me without a cause, but I will send you the advocate." Again, he talks about this in verse 14, "the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry." So here the disciples are going on, taking what Christ had poured into them. And today we are fruit of the 12 disciples that Christ poured into. And then the apostles that came after that, the apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who had a revelation of Christ, all of these men who poured out their lives to get this word out, and this gospel went forth. And today we are the fruit of this message that Christ left with a handful of people. Do you think they were perfect? Absolutely not. These disciples had faults and failures. You can look at Peter. When it came time, when he was arrested, they scattered. Talk about rejecting and denying. Talk about leaving him, abandoning him in the time that he needed them the most. But yet he had forgiveness for them, and they remained They came back to him after the resurrection. Jesus called Peter by name, brought him back, said, he was telling Peter, don't shy away from me just because you failed. And what a story or testimony of true forgiveness. If Christ would have shunned anybody, shouldn't it have been Peter who rejected him three times in front of all the people and would have nothing to do with him? But Christ made it plain. Peter, do not turn away from me now. I know you rejected me. That was in a time of failure, in a time of weakness, but do not turn away from me. And so Peter came back to the fold. And then what happened after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them and in them, and they began to speak in other tongues and other languages, and he preached, and thousands were added to the church that day. What an amazing, miraculous sign and wonder of forgiveness and seeing the hand of God on someone who had failed so big, who had failed so much, but yet God used him to add to the church and to continue the gospel. So when we look at where Christ is saying, remain in me, keep my commandments, love one another. When we fail, get back up, remain in him. Don't quit because you have failed. Don't quit because you have messed up or you've rejected or you've rejected out of ignorance. I'm not talking about rejecting Christ as your Savior. I'm saying you've rejected out of ignorance and you've turned away or you failed or you've missed. God's told you to do something and you didn't do it. And you look at your life now and you think, what? I wish I would have obeyed then. Well, just stop where you are, repent and say, Father, help me to get back up where I am and continue and to go on. But don't quit on God. Don't quit serving and seeking after Him. You stay in the vine. You stay connected. If you're connected to the vine, yeah, he said there's a pruning, there's a clipping, there's trimming off. And why does he do that? It's a correction come. Why does he call you to go by yourself and get away sometimes? Why does he call you to move to a place where you don't have very many friends? He may be pruning your life. He may be pulling you into a place that's uncomfortable, but he's doing it so that you will produce more fruit. If God prunes anything out of your life or corrects you or leads you in a direction that feels like everything's falling apart or being taken away from you, it's not God taking anything good from you. You know, when you prune back a vine, yeah, it looks like you're clipping off something good. It looks like you're clipping off something that's going to produce fruit. And yeah, it is, but it's producing very little. But when he prunes that back, that thing that might produce a little bit, then that your fruit just explodes and produces more than it would if you'd have left it alone. A lot of times we want to accredit God as being, you know, God takes away, and God doesn't take away anything from you that doesn't belong to you or shouldn't be in your life in the first place. God's not a thief, and he doesn't take from you. Why does he need to take? He only thing he does was trims off or cuts back or takes away anything out of your life if you allow him to operate and move in your life, so that you'll be better and stronger and that you will produce more fruit. But anything that he cuts away or cuts out of your life or asks you to give up, it is something that was not, in the end, would not have produced. It would have produced very little, if anything at all. God is good in every aspect, and everything that he does for you is for your benefit and for the benefit of the kingdom. God's not just someone who just tries to take and take and use you up and use you and abuse you and throw you away at the end. That's not God. If God asks of you to do something, God will bring a blessing into your life greater than where you would have been had you not obeyed him. If you honor God and you obey him, what God brings into your life is going to be better than you could imagine. It might be difficult. It might be hard at the time, because you can't see what God is doing, but I promise you, anything you give up for the kingdom, God will bring back to you 100-fold. Jesus told the disciples that when they asked him, you know, his mother is outside and his brothers are out there. He said, who is my mother and brother? But they that do the will of the Father. And anyone that gives up lands or houses or treasures for my sake, in this life will the Lord give back 100-fold. God will cause back into your life greater than you could ever imagine. He's not a taker. Anything that he cuts off or trims or you allow him to correct in your life, he is going to cause to come back to you in a greater measure. Because God will outgive you in every way. God has more and he'll give more. God's not about stealing or robbing or taking. Anything that you give or sow into the kingdom for the glory of God, God will cause your life to flourish and produce more. Why? So you can continue to do it. So that you can continue to be a blessing and to fulfill the promise of the covenant in the earth, to help the gospel go forth. Give glory to God, honor Him, and remain in Him. Whatever you're doing, whatever you felt like you failed at, stay in Him. Don't quit God because you feel like you're not good enough. Why don't you trust that God's good enough? Don't quit on God because you don't see that you are honorable enough or have enough integrity to be called a Christian. Why don't you let God do the changing? Let Him do the fixing. Let Him make you who you need to be. Let Him show Himself mighty and strong and His grace and His mercy upon you, just like He did King David, just like He did Abraham, just like He did Moses and Noah and all those that have gone on before us and have failed before us. Let God be the one that shows the world that He's victorious in and through you. You stay with Him, stay on the course, and if you've gotten off the path, just get back. If you have to turn around, get back on the path, get back in your Bible, get back in prayer, begin to worship God and see God move and work in your life. Amen. Let me go ahead and end this in prayer. Father, in the name that's above every name, Lord, we worship You today. We thank You, Lord God, for helping us to remain in You. And Lord, any time or any way that we have failed You, Lord God, to realize that, Lord, You are full of forgiveness and You've already forgiven us. All we have to do is just come to You and acknowledge, Lord, and say, Lord, I'm not turning away from You, but I'm staying with You. And Lord, I repent of the things I've done wrong, and I know that I'm already forgiven, but Lord, I'm acknowledging that and humbling myself before You, that what I did was wrong, and I'm putting myself in the light of You. I'm putting myself into Your hands, and I thank You that You're a good and merciful God. And Lord, You're not only a good God, but You're my Father. You're my Daddy. And Lord, I love You and I worship You. And Father, I thank You for helping me to come out of this place and to be faithful to You. Give me the strength and the courage, and I'll follow after You with everything within my heart. And Lord, I thank You that people that humble themselves before You, put their trust in You, they will not be put to shame. Father, we thank You in the name that is above every name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen.